Proverbs, as you know, if you've been attending, this is what we've been in the book of Proverbs all year long. Thank you, Brent. All year long, we've been in the book of Proverbs, and we've made it to chapter 10. But this chapter 10, I believe that we're going to go through the whole chapter today, so we're going to make a little bit of progress as far as pages getting turned. We spent the last 2 weeks on chapter 9. But these are wise sayings of Solomon, wise sayings, wise things that came out of the mouth of Solomon. And I'm making a little bit of a deal about these sayings because sayings come out of your mouth. Now, you might pick up on somebody else's sayings, but the way to actually follow that out is with your mouth. And this whole chapter has a lot to do with the overall picture of righteousness versus unrighteousness, right versus wrong, saying the right thing. There's going to be a huge emphasis on the mouth and the lips. How many can say, I wish I hadn't have come today? And I want you to notice that there is a kind of rhythm to how this is played out. Righteousness versus unrighteousness. And the blessing that comes with righteousness and the consequence that comes with unrighteousness. And by a rhythm, I'm just going to show you a scary side of my mind. And some of you may be like me. I don't know. But since I was a child, there's something that I don't know if it's OCD. You know how if you ever need to diagnose yourself, just look at what you're doing. Look it up on Google, and you'll find out if you've got that or not. Exactly. Not really. But there's this something that I did when I was a kid, and I'm just going to show you.
If I did this, I either had to do that again, or I had to close it up by going. Is that weird enough?
So I might have done this.
I could go on with my day if I went.
It's good. But it could get to the point where I had to go.
And then I had to remember how many times I do that. Okay, I'm good. But if I went like that and closed it,
it's probably way too much information. So a chapter like this in the Bible gets to me. And I get it. And these thoughts are because it's going from righteous to unrighteousness and then back and forth from it hit unrighteousness. Okay, so I got to hit righteousness again. So that's just kind of, I know I'm weird. I know I'm weird. I can admit I'm weird. That's the first step of recovery. But I'm your pastor, so what's your problem? I need my water. We got so mixed up. Thanks, son. Son. Thanks, son. Thanks, son. So Proverbs chapter 10. Now, I'm going to say this. Talking about words, talking about our mouth, talking about our lips. When it comes to causing damage to someone, it's very possible and maybe even probable that you can do more damage with your lips than you can with your hands or with your actions. So are you ready? That's the dun-dun. Are you ready for the dun-dun? When it comes to healing, it's also very possible that you can do more with your lips than with your actions. And if we try to fix something that we did with our lips by doing something with our actions, we'll miss it. Because what's needed to begin healing is an action from our lips that lets the person know, I know what I did. I'm sorry for what I did. Buying them something doesn't fix it. And that's an area of maturity. And I gave the story a long time ago, a lady way back when I was a youth pastor. But there was a lady in the church that I was the youth pastor at, and everybody was scared of her. And they said, they were scared of her because she had a very sharp tongue, and she knew how to use it. Now, she served in a high capacity in the church. She was very talented and very generous on one side of her. But the other side of her, you didn't want to cross. But if you did find out the other side of her, it was very likely that she would come back to you and give you a gift. Not an apology, a gift. I know that she said something very cruel to our pastor's wife. And later that week, the pastor's wife had a beautiful dress sent to her. But nothing was ever said about the words that she said. And I saw that pattern in her. And it hurt so deeply that at the end of it all, I decided I was going to handle it. But sometimes the youth pastor can get by with what the pastor can't get by with. I found myself in those situations. I was much younger. But this lady began saying stuff to my young daughter, Michaela, your wife. And she said something in the hallway so cutting to her. And Michaela would come back and say, "Dad, why does she say stuff like that?" I mean, other people would say, "Oh, it's just her. It's just her. That's just how she is. She's got a good side of her. You'll see the good side of her too." So there was the excuse made that this was just her. But that burned me, and I couldn't stand that. And the reason I couldn't stand that, because there was a just John too. My name's John. There was a just John too. But John got saved, so just John had to perish. That has to take place. Because just this person's, this woman, she would do the mean thing. And then she would come behind it with a gift, no apology. Are you following me? Are you tracking? So one day, walking out of the church office into the church foyer, before we got to the gigantic church sanctuary, she said something. It was just me and my daughters. And she said it to Michaela, and it was so snippy, and it was so mean. I said, "That's it. That's it." I turned around and told her, I said, "Let me tell you something. Don't you ever talk that way to my daughter again. You can say anything you want to everybody else, and you do. But to my daughters, don't you ever say that again. They come home and cry about what just you say." And I said, and then let me tell you this too. Do not send my kids any shoes after today or some dresses to make up for what you just said, but I called you on it." And she said, "Nobody ever talked to me like that before, but I just did." Just John. Just John came back for a minute. Because let me tell you, there's a just John that he's on reserve if something comes against our home. You understand that? But that's not for public consumption. I don't walk around half the old guy I used to be and the new with just a better set of clothes on. We're not supposed to leave here with just a slightly better package of the old man that we came. We're supposed to leave here changed. Something has to change, or we're going to give the world the very worst testimony about who God is in our lives. I mean, we're going to be a hypocrite. We're going to be lying. And guess what? They're going to recognize it. And they're not going to want anything to do with being a Christian because of us. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Not because, do you see? Not because of God, because God's good all the time. But because of me. And I fear what would happen if I don't fix that, or allow him to fix that in me when I'm down here. Because I don't want to show up at the judgment seat with a foot in two kingdoms. And I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to be as a believer these days, trying to survive and walk a line with a foot in two kingdoms. You better hear what I'm telling you. Wise sayings of Solomon. So here we go with the righteous versus the unrighteous. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. Say amen to that. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest, when he should be gathering, is a son who causes shame, laziness. Blessings are on the head. Now listen, and we're going to come back and hit this one in a minute. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Your mouth can be very violent. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Prating fool. That means the foolish of lips. Those who have foolish lips. That means that they will be thrust down or ruined. That's what that is interpreted as. So the wise in heart will receive commands, but one that's foolish of their lips will be taken down. He who walks with integrity walks securely. It's real easy to walk in integrity for a couple hours on Sunday morning. But what about walking integrity when ain't nobody around? I'll say it again. I felt that one a rub just a little bit. Integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. All right, we can move past that one. I heard the bell ring that time. Ding. But he who perverts his ways will become known. So you hide it for a while. You might even hide it for a long time. You won't hide it forever. And guess what that is? That's God's mercy. Aren't you so thankful that everything that you've done in your life didn't immediately go up on parade and billboards and neon lights for everybody to see, hey, I failed. But this time when time is passing by, that's your time to repent of the things that you're doing, or the day will come when everybody knows. That's when you've extended your stay. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool. See, we're back to a prating fool again. In other words, one that has foolishness of his lips. They will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. You see right there? What you say feeds people. And what you say should be refreshing to people. Have you ever gotten a drink out of a well? It ain't the same. Ain't the same. It is not the same as the water that we even have a nice thing back there that disperses big old 5-gallon bottles of water into clean cups. I think they're clean. I've seen kids grab stacks of them. I don't know if they gave them the old lick off or what. But when we set them there, they were clean. But what is refreshing is that water out of a well, and the mouth of righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. What did it say in verse 6? This is almost like a repeat. And you know when it says it twice, he's not saying it so he can be wordy. He's saying it so you'll get it. You ever need to hear it twice? I sure do. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. There it is again. So in other words, your mouth reveals what's in your head. And your mouth also reveals what's in your heart. Does not the scripture say, out of the heart, the mouth speaks? Have a conversation with someone. I'm talking about a brand new conversation. Go 10, 15 minutes deep, and what's in their heart will come out. Yes, it will, because it's God's principle. They can't contain it. It's in there. Something's going to rise up out of the well. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. That's a broad one right there. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked to sin. A lot of these proverbs put your mind to different scriptures in the Bible. It does me. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. But he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, verse 19 is a very serious one. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Ever talk for a while and wish you would have just shut up? Yeah. Once those words leave your mouth, they don't just hit the target, they hit the bullseye with incredible accuracy. And people will remember that. In the multitude of words, better be careful with your words. But he who restrains his lips is wise. So you're saying, Solomon, I can control it. If the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet and you can control your spirit, you better believe you can control your lips, if you will. Probably not going to be a shout him down day today. Go, pastor. Take my shoes off. Stomp on my toes. Oh, that's right. You're already doing that. He who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Listen at that. What he says is that you've got something of tremendous value inside of your mouth. Choice silver. But the heart of the wicked is worth little. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. Which one can you live without, a tongue or a heart? So if you're going to keep that tongue, it needs to be valuable, not just for you, not just for taste. I got to shake y'all up somehow. Y'all are just like real blah this morning. John Boy and Billy, I thought more of you would respond to that. I know they're old school, but they had this character, and I used to listen to them crazy nuts on the way to work. They had this character. His name was Lipless. Okay, now two or three of you know who I'm talking about. I don't know how he did it, but I'd try to talk like Lipless, and that's all he was. He was somebody that talked without Lipless. I said, Lipless. And I thought, that is the greatest invention in comedy that I've ever heard. He just didn't have any lips. But he had an interpreter. So one of them, John Boy and Billy, one of them would be lipless, and the other guy, Randy, he would be the interpreter. So lipless would say something, and then the other one tell him what he said, and then you could halfway figure out, oh, yeah, that's what he said. But you did not know until the interpretation come. And from that, I get the wisdom of this Proverbs right here that tells me that my tongue can get me into a tremendous amount of trouble. And even if I'm thinking something, if I don't use my tongue, nobody will know what I think. Keeping me out of a great deal of trouble. You know what quiet is? It's always a great option. Quietness is always a tremendous option. Wish I would have pulled on it many times. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. That word is actually, wisdom is actually interpreted as heart. Fools die for lack of heart. Why? Because out of the heart, it doesn't mean that their speech isn't lacking. It means their heart's lacking, because what came out of their heart was a terrible thing. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. In other words, we should be a relief. Our words that bless should be a relief to somebody. It should bring relief when you speak to people. Perspective. Oh, I didn't see that. It does not bring pain and sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Now listen to this one right here. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. As vinegar to the teeth. Somebody told me one time, you want to lose some weight, Pastor? Start drinking a spoon of vinegar every day. And not just regular vinegar, that thing that's got the mother in it. There's a difference, let me tell you. But that stuff will make your teeth, it'll make your teeth do fingernails on a chalkboard. That's what it'll do. And smoke to the eyes. You can't handle that. Like instantly, you get smoke in your eyes, and instantly there's a reaction to you. And that just said, that just goes great with that. That's just from sending out a foolish person. You know, it's going to be trouble. That's where I think we got the saying, I should have just done it myself. If you want it done right, I just do it myself, right? That's kind of how that goes. But this is foolishness. And if you send foolishness out, that comes back on you. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. I read that a couple weeks ago to my wife. And probably my son, he was probably in the room. Before we went to bed, we all kind of like huddle up. I've told you that before. We'll huddle up and read a chapter. And that was the one. And when I got to that, my wife said, say that one again. And I was waiting on it. And she said, that one's powerful. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The hope of the wicked will perish. You know that you can get to a place where all expectations are gone. Well, it's all right. I wasn't expecting much there anyway. As a rule, I have learned something in this life. Dealing with people, set your expectations low. Set them lower than you thought. That way you'll be happy when they come in higher than what your expectation. But this word right here says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. Inhabit the earth. Inhabit the land. They'll disqualify themselves. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. So I asked you a minute ago, which one can you live without, the heart or the tongue? This scripture says that perverse tongue's got to go. Got to go. You don't get to be just you in a better package on Sundays anymore. And I'm not saying that we're struggling with that. I'm just saying a lot of our trouble comes from our own lips. So the last verse says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. In other words, you know what you just said. You know what you just said. You know what just came out of you. It did not just pop out because it derived from a place. And that place is our hearts. So, where does the guarding of the mouth and the lips come into play for me? As a husband, that's one of my roles. I'm a husband. Right there's my beautiful wife, almost 31 years. As a father, there's my handsome son. My daughter's back here. I got grandchildren in the building. How does me guarding my lips come out, you know, how's that come into play for me? As a husband, as a father, how about just as a person? Before we call myself a minister, how about just as a person? You know that I have a responsibility as a person, that a pastoral title doesn't change that responsibility. I can't cover that up with just, oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot you're better than me. It does not alleviate me from any responsibility. Matter of fact, it nudges me to be more responsible for myself. Right? I mean, scripturally speaking, I could give you scripture that backs that up. As a husband, my lips and my mouth come into play. According to the Word, according to Ephesians 5, I believe it is, I need to be first. I need to treat my wife like Jesus treated the church. And you think the church doesn't need forgiveness? And he's first to forgive. So if something goes down, I don't have to be the first one to bark down her throat. I need to be the first person to forgive. Y'all could have amen that one. Husbands, you missed your chance. I can't help you now. If you ain't amen to anything, you should have amen that, Mr. Husband. As a father, nice try, Billy, a little late though. You slid off the base on that one. Where does the guarding of the lips and mouth come into play for me as a father? Well, I'm supposed to be slow to wrath, slow to anger, and I'm supposed to constantly be training. What if I get all up on Walker? Son, 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 I can't believe, son, son, son. Why didn't you? And he says, well, Dad, I knew that's what I was going to get right there. Well, I've broke a biblical thing first before I've hurt the relationship. See, when you, the biblical obedience protects the relationship. And it gives me the opportunity to bring correction through training and love right here. I've had them tell, all my kids have told me, said, Dad, your eyes are doing that thing. Glaze over. I don't know when it happens, but it obviously does. Because she says, yep, they'll glaze. I think I might have some chimpanzee in me. I've only seen monkeys do that. The monkey can move on. So how does it play out as a person? Oh, here comes the big one. Are you ready? You better buckle your imaginary seatbelt on preferring others. You get past that one, and you'll be well on your way. Oh, why is that one so big? Well, I'm calling it big because he calls it big. He said, you want to fulfill the law and the prophets? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then it says to prefer them over you. It says if you do that, law will be no problem. You'll have it. I'll move on, I can tell. How about as a minister? Well, I'm just going to give you a scripture. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. You're going to say, the whole armor of God, Pastor John, how does it fit? Oh, believe me, the Lord showed me something on this one. So the question is, where does guarding of the lips and the mouth come into play for me as a pastor? Well, Paul was the first apostle to the whole New Testament church. And Paul writes this to the Ephesians. And Paul tells them something. He talks about the armor of God. And you can't advise something that you don't have. So Paul had this, and he's telling them to get this and to use this. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put the breastplate of righteousness on, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, he's saying that outwardly, and he's saying that you need to do all of these things. And I can tell you, a guy that's got all of those things can preach anything he wants to preach to me. But he didn't stop there. And I've never recognized that until today. I've separated these two things, but I've never put them together. And he puts them together, but I didn't put them together. But he says, put it on. From head to toe, put it on. And then all the prayers that go with that, put it on, say it, do it. But Paul recognized something about himself. And he says there's one more thing that needs coverage. What is it? Where does the guarding of the lips come into play for me as a ministry? And this one really, it comes to you too. But I can put on the truth belt. I can put the righteousness on my chest. I can have my feet shod with peace. I can put on the helmet of salvation. I can take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And I can pray all kinds of prayers. But one thing is left. While you're praying, he's continuing the prayer. Pray always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Right there it is. I can have everything else just so. I can follow the manual. I can say, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I've done that. I got that. I'm doing all of these things. All these things. And I'm even praying. But he says one more thing that needs prayer. And he said, it's my mouth that needs prayer. He said, pray for me when I open my mouth. Didn't he just say that? He said, pray for me when I open my mouth. Can I reverse to engineer that for us? When I open my mouth, I need prayer. That's the challenge for any one of us today. When I open my mouth, I will need prayer. When you open your mouth, you're going to need prayer. Why? Because a lot is on the line when your mouth is in the speaking position. The cannon is aimed, the bow is drawn, and a firing is about to take place, and it will hit with incredible accuracy its mark. I need prayer. Pray for me when I open my mouth. When I open my mouth, I need prayer. This passage today ends on verse 32. Wait, no, whoa. I'm back on. Yeah, chapter 10, verse 32 of Proverbs. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the foolish and the wicked, they know what is perverse. You know what you're going to say. We know. We know it didn't just randomly, a thought doesn't just randomly pop in and it comes out of our mouth. We have a way of microprocessing something very quickly. And it can be cutting and damaging, and it can be soft, and it can be true. But it's still very important that our delivery of what we say is balanced with the intended result and how we are perceived. Amen, Pastor John. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. There's a line that has to be divided. There's a choice that has to be made. Because if the scripture is true, and it is, then what we say will either be acceptable or it will be unacceptable. That word's not written down there, but if you just take it as it is, if it's going to be something that's acceptable, then just by right, there has to be something that's unacceptable. And that's what the wicked do. And that's not your category. And that's why we need prayer, even when we open our mouth. Psalm 19:14 said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be y'all got it. So you know it. Like it said, you already know it. The words of my mouth. The Christian college that I went to and graduated from, at the end of every chapel, that's what we were, they got up, didn't they, every time, and they said that. That's what closed. And everybody's like, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. All right, let's go eat lunch. Where y'all want to go? But he was sending us out with great wisdom. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations. You know what meditations is? The meditation is actually the meaning of meditating on something is like an animal that has a chambered stomach that chews the cud, that the grass goes down into their stomach. And this is what meditation is they belch up that and they begin to chew on it. Again, that's the meditation. Chew it on it again. And what they're doing is getting every bit of nutrition out of that hay stubble, because there's not much. And it's roughage, and it's hard for them to get much out of it, but it goes into a different chamber of stomach, and then they'll belch it back up until enough processing has happened on the outside so that what's on the inside is not telling a different story than what happened on the outside. Meditation. Let the words of my mouth. You're saying, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, because what I meditate on is that's what's going to come out of me. It's just what's going to come out of me. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's what's going to come out of me. Let that be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Romans 12 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not transformed to this world, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good, perfect will of God. Otherwise, you will be proving that unacceptable. There's no loopholes for this. There's no easy button. There's no way to circumvent it. You can't get around this one. It's acceptable or it's not acceptable. 1 Peter 2:5 says that there's an acceptable sacrifice or an acceptable praise. Do you know when you came in here this morning and you started praising the Lord this morning? Somebody besides you might have watched it, but I guarantee you, according to His Word, who really saw it. And I hope, y'all remember, oh, here you go again with the crazy mind. Y'all remember the raisins, the California raisins? Ding, ding, dong. Acceptable. Messed up your worship thought, didn't I? Really did. Sorry, babe. I can tell that. In closing, thanks, babe, for explaining that. Perspective, there you go. Acceptable praise. So there is an accept. There's a praise that God looks at and says, that one was for me. Or He says, you ain't praising me. There's professional players that don't want to come out onto the court because he feels like the fans don't appreciate him enough. And that's just a man that can jump or shoot or hit a ball. What about God that's able to save your soul from hell? He deserves something better than anything else that you got. If you try to live with a foot in two kingdoms, that's not just frustrating for me to see. That's impossible for you to do. It's frustrating as a pastor, guys, I'm telling you. It's hard. If I could have made you do it by now, you would have done it. Can I tell you that there's some things that are in your life I'm not saying everybody, believe me, I'm not trying to rake you over the coals today. But if you have things that keep coming up, then you got something that you can't fix by now. If you could have fixed it by now, I think you would have. Can you just say this? Can you say it's bigger than me? Can you just get that far with us? It's bigger than me. And keeping a foot in either kingdom, it's impossible. Because it pulls you. And you can't be here and be there. Your heart will be in one of them. But the one who's looking down knows. And he says, acceptable or not acceptable? Acceptable or not acceptable? And according to what I've preached to you this morning, a lot of that is settled right here in my mouth. Because this is an indicator. This is actually an outward, okay, church word, an outward manifestation of an inward conflict. Or a place inside of me that's not a conflict. There's a saved John. Here he is. There's a just John. That's the old man. There are times when that old man so wants to resurrect. So wants to resurrect. Not all the time. Not all the time. But when he wants to resurrect, he really wants to resurrect. And that's when either the flesh wins or the spirit wins. I can't make it any. I've used this example before, but I think it's one of the best examples is David and Goliath and the end of all of that. When David sinks that smooth stone into the skull of Goliath and he tumbles and he's dead. I'm telling you, he is dead. So it's not your cheesy horror show when the bad person finally gets taken down, and however they get taken down, the person just foolishly walks over there, and there they are laying there, and then they turn to walk away. And then here comes the thriller when everybody screams and that person jumps back up and grabs them. It's not that. Does not mean that the enemy your life cannot resurrect. But what fixes that is when you take the sword and you cut the head off of the thing. That's what fixes it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it needs to be removed from your life. I know what needs to be removed from my life. And I know what I need to do to never let that resurrect again. No benefit in that. Doesn't mean it does not try to. How do I resolve that? Pray for me. I'll pray for me. You pray for me. Pray when I open my mouth. When I open my mouth, I need prayer. Can I tell you, if we all did that, what an incredible jump you would have on the thing right there. How many things start right here? If I'm not mistaken, one of the translations in James calls your tongue a deadly evil. It gets its power from hell. This same mouth that's preaching to you this morning, a power from hell can overtake this mouth if I let it. So is it going to be choice silver, or is it going to be something that comes to destruction? I'm not just going to say we'll see. I'm going to say this thing is dangerous. I need to use it to pray for me more than I need to use it to pray for you. And if we take that approach, you talk about gains. Gains in the spirit. Gains with your spouse. Gains with your children. Gains with people. And gains in your calling. Gains. Because it says, in Him is no trouble added to it. Doesn't it say that? No pain has attached itself to that kind of thing. The thing is, everybody won't do it. They just won't. But you're not responsible for everybody, but you are responsible for you. And I believe you'll do it. And I know you can. I know you can. So this isn't that service where we call people down and gather around and pray for them. Yeah, Lord, touch Logan's mouth. You know he talks too much. Y'all come lay hands on him with me. Where's that? Get the oil, not the little oil, the big gallon. Bring the gallon. Put some plastic down and pour it. The little remedies that we do. No, this is about me. This is about me having time for me, about me praying for me. The one who needs it most, me, myself. I want to be a better father-in-law, I need to pray for me. I want to be a better dad, I need to pray for me. I want to be a better pastor, I need to pray for me. Be a better husband, I need to pray for me. Be a better friend, I need to pray for me. We're friends by now, aren't we, Miss Shirley? Just making sure. Will you pray with me this morning, Father? It's me. I need prayer. I need prayer because I'm in a predicament right now. I have this ability to say things that will mess the whole thing up. And I also have the ability to say something that will feed people. And that power is right inside of me. And your word says the power of life and death are in the tongue. Mine needs prayer, Lord. I want to walk in wholeness and fullness of you. And I don't want to mess up or bring any shame or reproach on you, especially with my tongue. Because people will remember what you say. And they'll especially remember how you treat them with your tongue. Lord, let me be a person whose tongue is an acceptable instrument unto you. The evidence will follow the action. If I've said, God, touch me this way, the evidence will be something that has happened on the outside, but will be on the inside, but will be seen on the outside and be heard on the outside. Not just for me, Lord, for us. We need that. Your word is true. I'm so grateful for the wisdom that Solomon gave in the Proverbs and these wise sayings that he had, and they're so relevant right now. And they'll be relevant next week and next year, and as long as you tarry, they'll be relevant because they're inspired by you, God. So I thank you for these words, Lord. And I pray one more thing, that they do not just be heard words today, but let them be words that are acted on in our lives, in my life. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.